haven't really experienced war. I remember I was in college at the time when we heard the news on the radio, the Japanese had attacked Pearl Harbor. And most of our Pacific fleet was lying on the bottom. It was a tremendous loss. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt made the announcement the United States was now at war. And I remember as a young man thinking, what's going to happen? How will this affect me? And in less than a year, I was in the service myself. But the prospect of war and the realization that we weren't any longer at peace, we couldn't isolate ourselves from this world war that was in progress, and we had to get involved ourselves, we had to defend ourselves. War is kind of scary. It's frightening. But we're going to talk about war today, spiritual warfare. We're going to read in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to start reading with verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to speak known, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you may also know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I've sent to you for this very purpose, you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Now, the first part of this chapter especially is dealing with families. We looked earlier at husband and wife. Then the first part of this chapter is children, their relationship and their families, the attitude of fathers to their children. Then he touches on servants. Many households had servants. The slaves were very common. And here he says to those who are slaves, and many of the early Christians were slaves. He says to them, now, as a slave, do a good job. When you work for your master, do it as if you're working for the Lord himself. And it'll change your whole attitude towards your work, and you'll get along much better with your master. And then there's a word to the masters. Be careful how you treat those that you're in charge of. Remember, you're going to give an account. You have a master in heaven. And there's a strong exhortation there to masters to be careful of how they use their authority and their power. And you know, today in the workplace, we just followed some of those instructions, things would go much better. if all those who are employees, for example, say, you know, I want to do a good job. I'm not going to just be careful and be active when my boss is around. I want to do a good job. And as a Christian, you can have that spirit where you realize, I want to do this as for the Lord Himself. And those who are employers, to have the spirit of treating their employees with compassion, with understanding, realizing, you know, how would I like to be treated if I were in their position? And then he moves into this area now of warfare. When you become a Christian, life isn't guaranteed to you as being easy and as being without difficulty. In fact, the apostles, when they preached the gospel, would say to people, you accept the Lord, you're going to enter into a conflict, there may be persecution, things won't be easy for you. And here Paul talks about warfare. First of all, he talks about the enemy. It's important for us to realize who our enemy is. If you go into the service, one of the things they will teach you very soon is how your enemy functions, who is the enemy, how to recognize him, and how to fight against this one who is determined to destroy you. And here he begins talking about the fact that we are in a conflict, and first of all, he calls on us to be strong in the Lord. The Lord is able to strengthen you. You need His strength. You can't do this in your own strength. You need the strength that the Lord Himself will give you. Be strong, he says, in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's good to realize, sometimes when we get saved and we're having a struggle with sin and struggle with old habits and things like this, you may feel helpless, you may feel unable to even cope. You may feel like, I don't think I can survive. He says here, listen, in the Lord you can have strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Then he says, put on the armor. There's something we have to do. It isn't that you accept the Lord and now you're just passive and you say, okay, Lord, you just do everything. He says to us as Christians, there are things you need to do. Put on the whole armor of God. And he says, because you're going to have a struggle, a fight against the wiles, the deceptions of the devil. One of the things that marks the devil is deception and lying. And I want to go back to John chapter 8 and read what Jesus said about him. He's a master of deception, a master of lies. And Jesus here, as he describes him in John 8, in verse 48, speaking to those who are false teachers, he says, you are of your father the devil, the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the devil's strategies are marked by lies and deception. And it's tragic when you see people being so led astray and so confused and so guided by the lies and deception of the devil. And this marks it. And we live in a world where there are many lies and deceptions. In fact, you know, recently in this thing with our president and Monica, she was saying, you know, the president told me that from his childhood he'd been used to lie. And this marked it. Lies and deception. It surely marks the devil. that he is a master of lies and deception. He wants us to doubt God's love. He wants us to doubt God's word. And you remember in the temptation, he comes to Eve and he says, "Has God said?" And let me read some of those verses in Genesis chapter 3 to show how he works to destroy our confidence in the word of God and to confuse us, utterly confuse us. In Genesis 3, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." And so he comes and he begins to attack the word of God, destroy confidence in the word of God, and get Eve to believe a lie. Doubt God's love. Doubt his word. He's still doing it today. When he comes to us with his temptation, he wants us to question what God has said in his word and to question God's love. And this is his strategy. So he says, "You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And he is a one who's determined to destroy us, and he has a tremendous army behind him. We sometimes think of the devil as being alone in this battle. But the scripture emphasizes that he has forces with him. And I want to read there in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Jesus is speaking, and as he speaks, he is speaking of the devil. He says, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." He has angels who followed him. We call them demons, who are resisting the work of God, who are trying to turn us aside, who want to confuse us, who want to destroy us. So the scripture speaks of the armies of the devil himself. So we're in a conflict, we're in a battle, and there are tremendous forces against us. We have to realize that. And when you see what's happening to people, you realize how they get confused and their lives become so destructive, so utterly destructive. Recently in the jail, in a Bible study there was a woman in the class, a younger woman, 18 years of age, and just recently here, her boyfriend, and she had broken up. She was very angry about it. She went to see him. She got a gun, and she shot him in the head, killed him, and now she's in prison, in jail, and she's going to be sentenced to 48 years in prison. And you think, what insanity, what utter confusion. Here's a girl, 18 years of age, you'd think with her life before her, and she kills another person, kills a man. And now she's in jail, and her life, a big chunk of her life, the most of her life's going to be spent behind bars, her life's going to be wasted, you say. Whatever would have tempted her to do such an insane thing? And you realize that here there are the devil and his angels who are very active in struggling here against the forces of God, against truth and righteousness. So he points out, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood," in verse 12. "Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So here we are as Christians, and these spiritual hosts are opposed to us, and they're fighting against us. And I tell you, in some places, I think Christians are very keenly aware of that. Places in Africa where if you're a Christian, your life is going to be in danger. In some of the Muslim countries, for example, if you accept the Lord, your own family will turn against you. And it may be in certain cases, I heard of a case not too long ago where a father had his own daughter executed because she became a believer. And so there's this tremendous conflict going on. We struggle, he says, against not flesh and blood, but against these spiritual hosts. But we've got resources. And he says, take up the whole armor of God. You need armament. You need weaponry. Because this is a conflict where the devil wants to destroy you. And as a result, he says, be sure you take up the whole armor of God. Now, this is something we do. You're not, when you get saved, you're not automatically clothed with this armor. You're not automatically fit to be a soldier fighting against the forces of evil. In fact, to fight in a war requires the most out of you. When we have a war, we send the young men, those that are in the prime of their life, into battle. Because it takes the most out of you. We send them for training through boot camp, through their basic training, and there's tremendous pressure put on. They have to develop physically, you have to be in the peak of physical condition, and you're trained with your weapons, because war is a serious matter. So what he's saying to us as Christians is, if you're going to be successful in this battle against evil, you've got to, in a sense, become trained, you have to become disciplined, you have to develop spiritual strength, because the devil is determined to destroy you in this spiritual conflict. So there's an exhortation here. He says to you and to me, become a good soldier and take up the equipment you need. One of the things he says is, for us, first of all, of course, is to stand and resist, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all done all to stand. The attitude of the Christian needs to be, I'm going to resist, I'm not going to give in, I'm not going to be defeated, I'm not going to think, you know, I can't win in this battle with the Lord's help. I can win, and I'm going to stand, I'm going to resist the evil one. And as Christians, we shouldn't have a defeated attitude. And we celebrate today, we remember cases where men stood and fought and refused to give in. You go down to Texas. Texas are very fond of the Alamo, San Antonio. You visit the Alamo, and they'll say, well, here was a group of men, and they said, we're going to stand, we're going to resist, and they fought to the last man. They refused to give way. And here he calls on us as Christians to have that sort of mindset. We're not going to give in to the devil, we're going to resist. We're not going to be defeated. We're not going to back off. We're going to fight and resist the devil. He says, okay, take your armor off. Get familiar with your equipment and be ready for combat. To put on the belt of truth. A lot of us think a belt is that very important. In fact, a lot of men today don't even bother to wear a belt, you know. Your pants are snugging up around the waist, you don't wear a belt. But in the military, an infantryman, his belt's very important. A lot of his equipment hangs from it. And it's an important thing. It was in those days. And here he says, what is very important if you're going to win in this war is that you be marked by integrity, by truth. You don't fall into deception. You don't get into a pattern of lying to people or being dishonest. Integrity, truth is very important. And we have to say oftentimes as we think of those that are in politics and in other areas of public life in our country, you don't see a lot of integrity. Today, people don't do business and seal the bargain with a handshake. There used to be a lot of that. People would, make an agreement. There'd be a verbal agreement. And they'd shake hands, shake on it, and then they stood by their word, but not anymore. You want to have everything written down. You want everything witnessed. You want it in black and white so that there'll be no question, because the attitude is you can't trust anyone. Don't trust anyone. As a Christian, he says, something that should mark us is truthfulness and integrity. Just put on the breastplate. There's the armor. Breastplate covers your vital organs. He says, okay, this is to be righteousness. Put on the breastplate, he says, of righteousness. Character matters. Remember in the last election, one of the candidates who kept saying character, character, character. The other one was saying the economy is what's important. God says character is important. We can't be useful. You won't be successful in your battle against the devil unless there's this concern for godliness, for character. To be consistent, to be a godly person. The Lord Jesus, remember when he was here, they were constantly trying to find something to accuse in him. They were watching him. And if he had sinned, if he had failed, if he'd lost his temper, if he'd cursed, if he'd sworn, anything that they could have pointed to, they would have leaped on it immediately. So they couldn't find anything against him. Even his enemies couldn't find anything to accuse him of. So that here, as he emphasizes our weaponry, he says, be careful about your character. Don't play with sin. Don't think lightly of sin. Sin will destroy your usefulness to the Lord. And you know, there are sins that will follow you, that you can't get away from. And we've seen some of this going on publicly, where here, against our presidents, there are women coming out of the woodwork, out of his past, and saying, this happened years ago. And there are sins that will track you as a Christian and will hinder you. So he says, guard your character. Don't fool around with sin. Don't think of sin lightly. And then he speaks of your feet shod or sandaled with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He says, as a soldier, be on the offensive. You're not just in a defensive mode. You're on the offensive. You're out there witnessing, evangelizing to see others brought to the Lord. And they say the best defense is a good offense. It's said that in one of the battles, a soldier came riding up to Napoleon. And he said, sir, we've lost the battle. And Napoleon turned to him and said, start another one. Let's fight another battle. His attitude was, we're not quitting. And we may have lost this one, but we're not quitting. We're going to win the next one. And really, when we evangelize, we're going after the enemy's forces. Here are people who are following the devil, who are blind, who are deceived, who are confused. We bring them the gospel. If we see someone turn to the Lord Jesus, Satan has lost one of his followers were on the offensive. So he says here, be marked as a Christian with evangelizing, doing what you can to share the gospel. And all of us need to be doing that, whether it's by tracts or personal witness or whatever, to be constantly being concerned. I want to bring the gospel before other people. People need to be saved. They're lost out there. They're confused. They're on the way to hell. They're without God and without hope. And we should have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Shoes are very important in the infantry. They design the shoes very carefully. They make them so they'll be comfortable so that the army can keep walking. If you get your feet that are giving you trouble, you're useless. Remember my brother who was in Korea during the Korean War said that one of the things they told us, carried an extra pair of socks, and your feet would tend to get wet. It was muddy, it was cold, it was raining, whatever. And your socks would get wet. This would mean you could easily develop fungus or whatever. Your feet could get infected. You had to keep them dry. So you take off the wet socks, put those dry ones on, put the wet socks inside your shirt so they dry. Because we always did this. It's something we were told you've got to do. Keep your feet in good shape. The Lord says, keep your feet in good shape by giving out the gospel. The shield. This was a big rectangular shield they used when they were assaulting like a city. And it protected you. It was big and you could hide behind it. It could deflect the arrows of the enemy. And here he says, as believers, we must have this shield of faith to protect us, because the devil is going to be shooting at us. If he can get us to begin to doubt, to begin to question, then we're really vulnerable. And I want to read there in Psalm 56, where the psalmist is writing and expressing his feelings as he is in the conflict. David says, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day he oppresses me. He's in a battle. My enemies would pound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Now what's his response going to be? He's under attack. Maybe you felt under attack by the devil in different ways. He says, whenever I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. Here's the shield of faith. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Now here's David under attack. Lots of enemies. He raises the shield of faith. Says, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I will trust in you. And we have to do that in the midst of conflict. We must constantly strengthen our faith. Helmet's very important. And this helmet, he says, the helmet of salvation. And really, it's the thought of the helmet of the hope of salvation. He mentions this in 1 Thessalonians. Because as believers, in the battle, there's the hope the Lord Jesus is coming back, the battle's going to end. We're going to be rescued. And so there's the hope of ultimate salvation. Battle's not going to go on forever. We're not going to be defeated. We're going to win. We're on the winning side. And that's the fight. Now, sometimes in a war, you may wonder at times who is winning, who's ahead. And there could be a little uncertainty. But in this spiritual war, There is no doubt about who is going to win. The victory is ours ultimately. So that he says here, we can put this helmet on, this hope that will guard our thinking and preserve us in the midst of battle. The hope that the Lord Jesus is coming back. The hope that we're going to have the victory. That we're not going to ultimately be defeated. And then he says, take the sword of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. What can we use in this battle to strike down the attacks of the devil? And we use what the Lord Jesus did himself. You remember when he was tempted. He quoted the Word of God. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Now, when the devil comes to us, you know, there's no point in just kind of holding up the Bible and saying, somewhere in the Bible it says I shouldn't do this. Somewhere in the Bible I realize, no, it's wrong. I shouldn't listen. The point of this scripture is it's the saying of the scripture that is going to be effective at that moment when the devil comes to tempt you. You know the scriptures well enough so that you can use the Word of God and destroy that temptation. So it's very important that we know the scriptures, know the particular scriptures that deal with the temptation. And this is what he's talking about here. This is the sword of the Spirit. We know the Word of God well enough so that we have the scripture that will apply to this temptation, and we're able to use that against the devil in order to win the victory. And that's what the Lord Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness. And he was victorious. He knew the scriptures that well. Know your weapons. That's what he's saying. You need to get to know the Word of God. You know, there are many people out there that say they're Christians who are so ignorant of the Bible. And we as Christians need to get to know this book. This is the sword of the Spirit that he will use in this battle. And if you go into the military and you're issued a rifle, I remember in high school I was in the ROTC and we had rifles we were using. Getting familiar with it. They said you want to get to know your weapon so thoroughly, you can disassemble it, you can put it back together blindfolded. You know your weapon that well. And really, if you're going to be successful, and I'm going to be successful in this battle against the devil, we need to know the Word of God so that the Spirit can use that particular saying at the moment that will defeat the devil. Taking up the sword of the Spirit. It says, be alert and pray. Be alert and pray. And I want to read Matthew 26, where the Lord Jesus there is speaking to his disciples. Matthew 26, and verse 46. He says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So many times as Christians, we may feel a sense of weakness, a sense of being unable to really cope with the thing. And yet he says here, you pray, be alert. And Paul here exhorts us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Pray, pray, pray. We have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. It's an important meeting. I've had some Christians at times say, it's the best meeting of the week. But we need those times when we pray together. We need to pray individually. And we need collective prayer in this battle against the devil. Then Paul concludes And he mentions Tychicus, who is a, he says, a beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord. He's going to be sending him. He'll give instruction to them. He'll give them encouragement. He'll tell them how things are going with him. And then he gives them his blessing. He says, peace to you and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. His benediction. At the end, he says an interesting thing. He says, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Now, some translations put it with undying love. This is the mark of a Christian. Someone who loves the Lord Jesus. This is a mark of someone who has accepted Him and is following Him. We love the Lord Jesus. And in this battle, in this warfare, it's love for the Lord that will sustain us and will keep us going. And great leaders have inspired real love and devotion. They said Napoleon was a man like that. A man whose followers were so devoted to him and who so loved him. It said of one that they were doing surgery to remove a bullet from his chest. And he said to the surgeon, he said, dig a little deeper and you'll find the emperor. Dig a little deeper and you'll find the emperor. And as Christians, if we're going to be successful in this warfare, we need to love our Lord Jesus, our great leader.